Welcome to episode 3 of Ben Lee in Quarantine, the podcast where the Australian songwriter Ben Lee is in quarantine and I, Max Quinn, hello, call him up every day. Yesterday, we spoke about Ben's increasing involvement with activism and fighting conspiracy theories after the Black Lives Matter movement earlier this year, before we got started with QAnon and Ben set me some homework. A 90-minute video, another video from the Financial Times, a 10,000-word blog post called QAnon is Propaganda and We Know Who's Responsible, and a quick thesis from the tech outlet Wired. I haven't slept. Today, we rappel further down the canyon of conspiracy and ask why spiritual wellness groups have been picking up the batshit baton. We'll also talk about Ben's experience with cults. It's all coming up on Ben Lee in Quarantine. Ben, I can see your chest.
Yeah.
What's happening today?
Me and my wife worked out. This morning we had a true family argument over essentially over the remote control, basically about the whose decision and how much consultation there needed to be before someone started a movie in the middle of the living room really loud, which is like a classic roommate discussion, because we do have, there's me and my wife and then the two girls, but we only have two bedrooms.
That's right.
So there's some, you know, there's someone living in shared space. So then we exercise, let off a little steam, you know?
Mm-hmm. So who wanted to watch what?
Well, my stepdaughter wanted to watch Spirited Away and my wife wanted to watch with her. And the littlest one, Goldie, was saying, look, since this is my bedroom, essentially, I should be consulted before a movie begins. And it brought up years of repressed tension and resentment between the girls, which is very healthy to come out in this type of environment. And we actually ended up switching bedrooms all around. So my wife and I moved into the shared space. We were like, hey, we'll be in the middle space and then the girls can each be private off in their room. So I think it'll work.
Is that working for you now?
It's been about 45 minutes and so far so good. Everyone seems satisfied.
It is, again, the sharing of ideas. It's interesting to me that we started talking about that yesterday and then we finished it by talking about how we were, you know, engaged in this universe of wars of ideas. And here we are again talking about the family argument around the movie and the war of ideas of whose space this is.
Yeah. And also about parenting, because, you know, the two kids had different parenting setups, experiences.
Yep.
And so I had that with my sisters. Like I was 15 and 18 years younger than my two sisters. So I was, in a sense, even though I was raised by the same parents, they were different people.
Because they had learned so much more over that time.
Exactly. So a lot of issues come up in that type of thing between siblings.
And now, 45 minutes later, you sit down to talk to the strange man on the telephone.
Goldie's here. Goldie, do you want to say hi to Goldie?
I think she'd actually like
to say hello on this podcast. Hang on a second. Here, come close to me. That's the mic where it's recording.
Hi.
Hi, Goldie. How are you?
Good.
That's good. Now, do you understand what your dad and I are participating in?
I think.
It's a podcast. You have to talk. Oh, yeah, be engaged podcast. In conversation.
The way that it's working is that I'm a fan of your dad, and I also think that he is a really interesting man. I don't know whether, do you think your dad's an interesting man?
Yeah,
because I think that he's got a lot of different takes on the world and how things are going, and I also heard that you guys were engaged in a bit of an argument this morning about watching Spirited Away or not watching Spirited Away.
Yeah, because my room was in the living room, like where the kitchen is and where the couch is and where the TV is. And Kate, my sister, and my mom wanted to watch something. And I was like, but I want to watch something on my own. And it got into a whole thing that I thought it was unfair that my bedroom was in the living room. So I swapped with my parents and now I was in their room that they had.
And we don't mind. We have no privacy anyway.
So. Yeah. Here, I'll give you back to my dad.
All right.
That was nice.
You get a sense. You can have cameos from the whole family on different days.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. I like bringing me in as a mediator, as an interlocutor for family disputes is something that I'm really weirdly here for.
That's great.
So let's talk about yesterday, because we left it at a point where we were getting pretty deep into your work in activism and all of the theories that have prompted this sort of like, I don't know whether it's a change in vision or at least a proliferation of vision for you. And I feel like, you know, you sent me some links last night. I think I'm getting closer to the point of the complete galaxy brain meme. Like, I read the links, I watched the videos. But before we get any further, I think that we need to really set the table for anyone who's like, what are these men talking about? You know, like, I think it's important for everyone to have the same base knowledge and what this is and why it's important. And
good point.
I think maybe the easiest way to do that is for me to play back to you my synthesis of what this all means. And you can tell me how close I have gotten to some degree of accuracy.
Okay. And I'm not some definitive, authority on this. With everyone else. So, but I'm happy to compare notes.
Yeah. This is an opportunity to compare notes, fill in gaps, because God knows that my brain has so many of them. Here's where I'd like to start. QAnon is the most successful conspiracy theory or collection of conspiracy theories of the 21st century. People who believe QAnon basically think that a secret government operative with a high-level security clearance is dropping information on an online message board called 8kun about how Donald Trump is trying to save the world from this cabal within the Democratic political party who are sexual abusers and pedophiles. And obviously it's a conspiracy theory, but it employs psychological operations, which I've learned a lot about in the last 24 hours, in order to set up like this fascist parallel reality. And in this reality, the socio-political contract that we have all signed as a society, as separate people, is torn up and is replaced with this diorama of distrust in conventionally trustworthy institutions. And the effect is like entirely societally destabilizing, because now we have a far-right faction that is increasing in size, playing in this alternate reality sandbox and willing away their own agency to whoever is in control of this. But as you said yesterday, it also falls under the false pretense that they're operating with like their third eye open to what's really going on, because that's what they're being told. And it seems like we didn't quite get this far yesterday, but this is where I'm branching off. Okay. The people involved are some combination of like Trump offsiders, neo-Nazis, right-wing extremists, a conspiracy man called Paul Ferber, who I learned a lot about, the Watson family who run 8kun, and also that this whole thing was kind of created intentionally by the Trump staff, whether QAnon or not, but like this whole campaign, the man named Ron Stone, as well as a bunch of others, as a political strategy for Trump to get elected and for everyone behind the scenes to sort of do that like Scarface thing. You know, first you get the money, then you get the power, then you get the women. In addition to that, the way that it has been systematized is in and of itself insidious. Like we talked about it being set up like an alternate reality game where you decode the clues and draw ever closer to what I'd like to call alt-rightenment. It's also part of like what makes it attractive to more vulnerable people who are seeking something more, particularly, and this is kind of where we left off yesterday, within the spiritual wellness communities that you've been a part of. This is where I bring my slideshow to a conclusion.
Now that's good. That's pretty good.
Is that just about the baseline?
I think there's a couple important details. One, I'll see if I can address them. One is that we're not sure whether it was created as a means of propaganda.
Yeah.
Or it was taken advantage of and hijacked and became that, which is a very high possibility considering the people involved.
Yes.
There's a lot of interesting history around this woman named Lisa Clapier, who has basically infiltrated movements. She's known as a movement jacker.
Cool.
She has infiltrated movements and taken them over for her own political agenda. So whether that's Occupy, Standing Rock, anonymous
QAnon
that it seems like it's changed hands several times. Mm. And because there's a general degree of like lack of morality and ethics in this world, it most often has been assumed to have been stolen a couple times.
Right.
So meaning to say that it's not clear that QAnon was created in the way that it's being used now, but we know that it is being used now as a method of propaganda. Another thing that seemed important to share is that you can get caught up in this sort of false, almost like a false quest that you see a lot of like the left-wing media caught up in, which is who is Q?
Mm.
As opposed to what is Q? Because there is no Q.
Okay.
There is no secret source of intelligence within the government that's leaking information.
Yeah.
There is an amalgamation of grifters, traitors, creative opportunists, Trump operatives. There's a group of these people that all sort of have their own agendas. And they have, I think, Q-drops seem to have been written by different people.
So it's not one unifying voice. It's a collective of voices over time.
Exactly, and it's sort of changed. Its narrative has changed over time too.
Mm.
The other thing that's just important for people to understand is that QAnon ideas. I mean, I have a close friend in Sydney who I've been sort of debating some of these concepts over, like vaccine hesitancy, masks, COVID numbers. She doesn't even know what QAnon is, yet
right.
She has been essentially indoctrinated through what you'd call like QAnon adjacent information that like
right.
every cult, like if you go to, if you're driving along the street in LA, you'll see billboards advertised selling you Scientology without telling you it's Scientology.
Yeah. No one says like, this is a Scientology billboard.
There might be a tiny little link at the bottom.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's like, don't you feel like you deserve more?
Yeah. Could you be more nourished?
Yes, damn straight. And then, next thing you know, you're calling and hyperlinking and all that. So indoctrination materials in cults, not everybody goes all the way deep into them.
Right.
Yet the ideas are proliferating. And this is what, this is one of the areas where QAnon is most divisive in that, like, it doesn't seem like it's attempting for everyone in the world to believe in Q. That's not the goal of it.
Right.
The goal is to get the information out there and get it disseminated. So that's why I think a lot of us have been surprised to find like our aunt on Facebook, just like randos we went to high school with, like basically hook, line and sinker selling the QAnon party line with no official affiliation with QAnon or calling themselves that or identifying that or possibly even having heard that. It's there as people go down the rabbit hole and the ones who go deeper and deeper. And this is what was interesting about that Pete Evans cartoon. Did you see the cartoon?
Oh, yeah, the Nazi cartoon.
Yeah, so what was interesting about it, that it's not a joke, but it was actually a pretty good depiction of online radicalization.
Mm.
What he was saying was here was a regular Trump supporter and here was a neo-Nazi. And the neo-Nazi was in a sense, the crystallized version of this metamorphosis.
Right.
That, as a butterfly as opposed to a caterpillar, and that the caterpillar saying, you've changed, and the butterfly, the neo-Nazi butterfly saying, that's what we're meant to do.
Mm.
What it's depicting is that there is a process of radicalization. It doesn't happen overnight. Like, nobody suddenly becomes a neo-Nazi. It's like it's you get dripped ideas through YouTube, through Facebook, through Instagram, and you sort of increase the gradation of the material that you're dealing
with.
Just
turning the volume up a little bit.
Or even worse, the algorithm actually does it for you. And it says,
right.
If you like Joe Rogan and you fall asleep to it, you might wake up to David Icke.
Right, okay.
Like that's the nature of how the algorithm works. The algorithms are accelerationist. So basically, like, one of the tricky things about dealing with QAnon is we're both battling an actual infrastructure and a machine that disseminates dangerous disinformation, and then you're dealing with regular people who are just consuming information, and they don't see the machine at work. They don't know where it's coming from, but they're consuming propaganda and then resharing it.
How does it succeed in its subtlety?
Is it subtle? How is it subtle?
Well, like, these people don't realize that they have been indoctrinated if what you are telling me is...
Well, because like I said, like, if you see a flyer on Facebook that says...
Yeah.
You should have control over your own... This was Melbourne a month ago or 2 months ago. You should have control over your body.
Yep.
If you choose to wear a mask, you should choose to wear a mask. No one should be able to tell you what to do. It's called sovereignty, right? There's an idea that has a logic to it.
Right.
I could see myself in another time and place if I didn't know anyone who died of COVID, and the numbers in Australia being what they are, COVID doesn't seem like the threat it does when you're in the States, you know? I could imagine going, yeah, that makes sense. I like that. I'd like that freedom.
There's like an alternate plane libertarian Ben Lee out there.
Yeah. I can see it. I can see it. It's a rebel who's like, hey, if I want to wear a mask, I'll wear a mask, but you're not going to make me, right? So I get that. But then until you get experienced at looking at some of this material and you realize the word sovereignty or self-sovereignty is like a QAnon catchphrase. It's almost like the way the culture wars, like pro-choice or, you know, these kind of things have become politicized when they needn't have been, like a health issue needn't have been politicized. In the same way, masks needn't have been politicized. But QAnon figured out, man, we can really work with this. This is an issue that is lighting people up, much like pedophilia is, much like, you know, these various types of issues that are hot for people. So the reason that people are getting indoctrinated without realizing is that's the point of indoctrination materials.
Yeah, they're well designed.
Yeah.
Can we talk then about why it is that we're seeing more spiritual or like wellness kind of leaning people leaning into this?
Yeah. Well, this is very disturbing to me because I, through my quote unquote spiritual adventures and journey, found myself untethered from reality. I came to realize that there's something about the way spirituality, or at least Western spirituality, works, where its job is almost to provide an alternate reality where we're safe and where we're cozy and warm and we're going to be free of, you know, we're going to have access to, you know, whatever, the pearly gates or an afterlife or whatever it is.
Whatever it is.
Yeah, or just a feeling of inner calm in the midst of insanity.
And it makes sense that vulnerable people would seek that out too.
Absolutely. And there's like nothing wrong with that. But it's like what happened during lockdown. I was actually listening to someone talk about this morning. I forget his name on the Conspirituality podcast. But he was saying that what he saw accelerate for people in lockdown was people either go further into fantasy or become more firmly committed to reality.
Mm.
And so in a way, and then if you look at like the way spiritual people have also generally been drawn to authoritarianism, whether it's the Pope, the local rabbi, the guru, the self-help Tony Robbins coach, basically there is a tremendous propensity amongst people that consider themselves spiritual to seek guidance from others that they perceive as being more in the know.
To have a figurehead.
Yeah, to have a figurehead and to surrender to them.
Yes.
So in all of these ways, it's like the sort of conscious yoga spiritual community was like, I didn't realize this at the time, but what are gurus aside from fascists? Like a guru is someone who is assuming control of a community, who says that they have special entitlement to that position, that they're privy to special information. No one votes them in or votes them out.
Right.
No one can challenge them. It's complete authoritarianism. So I didn't realize that this was already at work, you know?
And this was at work on you is something that I want to flag. Like,
So
are you comfortable to talk about those experiences?
For sure.
So what happened? And let's talk about how you became involved and then the point at which you realized that this was not for you anymore.
Well, for me, it's not even about just spirituality. It's about a personality type.
Yeah.
Often what you find in like spiritual communities, that the cliche is that they're not bright people or not strong-willed people, but you actually often find incredibly bright and strong-willed people who are looking for someone to look up to and give them some guidance. You know, like you have people
that makes
who
sense.
You have a high, very high achievers. In most cults, you find very successful, very high achievers, wealthy people, people who were like, I want to give more back to the world. I wish someone could tell me how to do that, you know?
That's why you see now, these, like, beautiful actors and actresses in Nexium.
Exactly. And so for me, like, I was actually a bit like that, even outside of spiritual communities. Like, if I had a driving teacher and they started, like, I remember I had a driving teacher that told me the only way I was going to pass my test was by going at 6 in the morning out on the for lessons, private lessons, and before there was any cars on the road and everything. And I did this for months. I got picked up. It was insane. Like now when I look at normal people learning drift. But what was interesting, later in the process, he actually did make a sort of like inappropriate, somewhat light but inappropriate sexual advance towards me.
Right,
and I realized, and I realized that like, oh, this is a person in a position of power who is using whatever means they have. In this case, their authority is based on the fact that they can help you learn how to drive.
Yep.
And using that position of power in order to get their own needs met or something. And nothing ever happened. I just was like, this is not for me. I was smart enough to go, okay, this is the real red flag. I get this.
I can see it.
Teacher.
I gotta go. Yeah.
But for a lot of people that aren't as confident, not to mention that aren't white males also, like
right.
If you're a young woman, like that kind of thing, and this is like a big older male teacher, you know. Anyway, so I've been in this dynamic a little bit, same with music mentors. Like I'd sometimes be in positions with producers who I would end up like almost listening to their advice above my own musical voice.
Mm-hmm,
and I would go into an album determined to make one type of record and come out the other end sort of having made the record the producer wanted to make.
Right.
And this is pretty common for young artists, but I bring this up to say that like these aren't dynamics that are exclusive to spiritual or religious communities.
They're
these
exclusive
are dynamics
to a personality type.
Yeah, and also they occur between teachers or authority figures and students or young people. So, I've always been someone who had like a quest for knowledge, a thirst to like understand. And sometimes I would find myself in these dynamics. And this happened then in spiritual worlds, you know, where I had like a Hindu guru who I would ask advice of. And then it was like, may I marry Ioni? Like asking permission, you know,
yeah.
It's like, and things like that, that you like, it happens slowly, but you start seeing other people doing it and you're like, well, they seem happy. And so you kind of follow all these, you know. So anyway, this was a process. I'd say I operated in various avenues where I gave away my autonomy or my personal power repeatedly in different scenarios between the ages of 15 and 35. Like probably it was like a good 20 innings of going like someone else must know better than me how I could be happy.
I'm hearing you.
Yeah. So that's the gist of it. And I mean, I can get into specific details. I don't know how interesting it is there, but psychedelics helped me break away from the Indian guru because I had some different ceremonies with ayahuasca where I saw things about the nature of my devotion to this guru. I saw how like it was actually full of little lies. Like it's almost like when you so want to be with someone like a romantic partner. So you start trying to convince yourself to overlook flaws or gaps in reasoning.
All the small things that actually mean that would never work anyway.
Yeah. And so you kind of gaslight yourself, basically.
Yeah.
And I saw that at process and I saw how it's almost like it begins like a crack with like one little lie, but it grows into like a cancerous situation where you are now, your life is entrenched in, and this guru is entrenched in your life and vice versa, but it's sort of built on a lie in a sense that you never really wanted to walk down that path. So, and what I came to realize was that the kinds of people, like this is really interesting to me, I think about spiritual teachers, because it's built on the pretense that they have achieved something. Like these people are, whether they're enlightened or integrated or brilliant or whatever you call them, that you basically approach them as an expert.
His Holiness.
Yes, and very rarely does anyone say, what happened to this person to make them want to be this kind of teacher?
Right.
And what I realized is that it's almost like the political thing where you go, anyone who would want to be the president or the prime minister is innately unqualified to do so.
Mm-hmm.
Similarly with a spiritual teacher or a guru, anyone that willingly accepts that role is desperate for to be in a position of power and to control others and to tell others what to do. And he's in a way, I think, you know, is almost like I started thinking of them almost as like psychic vampires because it's like rock stars can be psychic vampires too.
Yeah.
That they feed on a type of adoration that isn't grounded and loving and healthy and there's no accountability in it. It's totally one way. And it's almost like, it's like a supermodel. It's like people looking at them with no accountability towards intimacy is what gets them off.
Sure. You know what I mean? No, I understand.
So, yeah, exactly. So this is kind of the process I went on. And so I identify with why you would want to believe that there is someone who knows better than you do.
Yes.
That's what it comes down to. Like if you are reading a cue drop or if you are, even if it's not called QAnon, but if you are being, if you're buying into this idea that, hey, there's a secret truth going on behind the scenes, you can be in on it by watching this video. I understand the emotional pull of that,
mm-hmm.
but I do believe that it comes more from childhood wounding and basic trauma than it does from a genuine desire to understand reality.
So the phrase that you use was buying in. I think that that's a really interesting phrase because it ties in capitalism and finance and all of these like intersecting worlds that you would think would not intersect. I want to maybe talk about a little bit more about that tomorrow. What I'm wondering if we can talk about now is the point at which you realized, was there a moment where you thought, I got to get out?
Of America. Oh, of cults.
Yeah, of cults.
What an interesting, it's weird I called it America. Because I will say that one of the things I'm realizing, and I love America. I've spent more of my adult life there than I have in Australia.
Yeah.
That might rebalance itself, who knows? But I really believe in what that country could be,
yep.
not necessarily what it is.
It's a beautiful ideal.
Yes, but it has, what I realize is some of what drew me to it was my own unresolved trauma. That Americans are not, Americans as a whole are not entirely tethered to reality. And in some ways, what I was trying to escape was there's an earthiness to Australia.
Mm-hmm.
It's same as like if you're from Ireland or if you're from, you know, it's like if you're from somewhere where your feet have been on the ground and you've been in the ocean and you don't necessarily, you know, this isn't a country that I would say our modern Australia is not really built with any religious entanglement in the way that America is.
I agree with that.
Do you know what
yes.
I mean? Like there's a far more appropriate actually division of church and state in Australia. Yeah, I know there's got some ways to go with it, but in America it's a mess, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think some of that groundedness and some of that just being in reality for an artist, it's almost like boring. It's like I want to go where the crazy people are.
Right.
Like I'd read Allen Ginsberg and he'd say, "I've seen the best minds of my generation destroyed by madness, hysterical, starving, naked." And I'd say, I want to live that.
Break me off a piece of that.
So literally, I was going for the insanity.
Yeah.
That's why I was going.
Right, right.
What I realize is, and this is where I wouldn't say proud of myself, but forgiving of myself.
Okay.
In that, in all of my adventuring, in all of my psychedelics and gurus and nonsense, I wasn't looking for sanity. I was looking for insanity, and that's the part of me that's an artist. It's like when I read Rambo talk about what he wanted to do was a systematic derangement of the senses.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I wanted.
Yeah.
In some ways, that's what I still want.
Yeah.
That's why we moved again, because this is a chance to derange and rearrange my senses. So I've looked for experiences that were quite extreme because they reformat your brain. They like the there's a great writer who I've collaborated with called Tom Robbins who said psychedelics rearrange the living room. What is it? They rearrange the furniture in the living room of your brain. Mm. I've been drawn to insanity. But I think what kind of happened as I grew up, and maybe this is the essence of growing up, like maybe if I think about what is growing up, it is realizing that reality is more magical than the insanity that you were chasing.
Yeah.
That real creativity and real family relationships and real accountability is where magic is.
Yeah.
And that what you are seeking in the running around and the best minds being destroyed by madness was almost a type of chaos that keeps you away from the magic.
So, and therefore, like, there's not, we're not pointing to a specific traumatic event where you're like, I'm done with cults, I'm finished. We're more saying, like, over time, I realized that actually the real truth, the real magic, everything that I was looking for was in front of me all along.
Well, it happened in stages, you know. It's like there were albums where I had to own up to the fact that, like, I actually didn't love how they came out, even though the producer was really happy with them.
Do you have an album like that?
I can honestly say that I have three albums that are quite highly regarded. Breathing Tornadoes, Hey You, Yes You, and Ripe.
Yep.
And all of them contained too much of the producer's voices. Like, Awake is the New Sleep, Grandpa Wood, they feel like me and my aesthetic and mm-hmm. my reality. Some of these other albums, even though I love them, like Cigarettes Will Kill You is like one of my most popular songs, and it's a song that will live on in my catalog and the whole album. I do not begrudge anyone loving that album because I wrote the songs, whatever. I just mean in the battle of authenticity, I lost some of those battles on those
right.
records.
You ceded a little bit.
I was trying to be something I wasn't because I didn't yet know myself well enough.
Right. You thought that this person might know more.
Yeah. So it happened with those albums. It happened with The Driving Teacher. It happened with Ex-Girlfriends.
Yeah.
Then for sure, once I started like going into these groups and joining them and then leaving them, that was a big stage of realizing this wasn't for me. But honestly, this QAnon thing has been the nail in the coffin.
Yeah.
Because it's the first, it is the biggest cult experience you or I have witnessed in our lifetime.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, literally, it's like if Scientology were like so much bigger and more powerful and more influential in that like they don't even need you to go to their centers or anything. It's all happening through Twitter and Facebook. But I watched this from outside and I saw the tropes of the brainwashing and I saw the defensiveness. And it's funny because people have said things to me like, you should debate Pete Evans. I'll be like, I would never debate someone indoctrinated in a cult.
Yeah.
Because it validates them by debating them. It says that there's a chance they could win or whatever winning means in an argument with insanity. You know, lunatics will always make it seem like they win. That's why Donald Trump is doing what he's doing right now because they just changed the whole narrative so that they won. I would never do it because ultimately I feel pity for people that have been caught up in this propaganda program. And I don't know. I don't know what the answer is, but like I said yesterday, I think I don't believe it is in talking directly and arguing with people that have been red-pilled.
Right.
I've been in these groups before and I was not willing to hear an outside argument. I was not. And I just don't see any reason to think they would.
It comes back to this thing that we've been talking about finding where the fringe is and just sort of combing it back.
And also like, making it appealing to take another choice. Like if you're a kind of just square sort of regular person in the world, say you just have a job and you just, you know, you're in debt and you don't love your life particularly, you're just, and then COVID hits and it's like a mess and, you know, and you see that the edgiest, coolest, most interesting thinkers are going towards this QAnon path, it seems like it's got brand appeal to it. You know what I'm saying?
I can understand how that feels like rock and roll.
Yeah, it feels rock and roll. It feels rebellious.
Yeah.
And what I've kind of wanted to say is like, nah, dude, like questioning that is rebellious too.
Right.
Like,
right.
Like literally if you look like, you know, the materials I sent you about some of the ways we've learned that QAnon is structured, this is like weird subversive shit. Like when you get into it, right?
Yep.
And it's way more interesting because it's real. The reality of what is behind QAnon and what it's trying to do and what it has been able to do and what it's failed to do is far more interesting than the idea that there's like some secret agent posting things
on the internet
for people to follow. Yeah, yeah, it's like, that is not an interesting story. This is a fascinating story.
Yeah, the mystery of what instead of the mystery of who, as you said at the start.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. All right, let's leave it there. I already have questions for you for tomorrow. I can't wait. I will talk to you then. Thanks, Ben.
Talk to you later. Bye.
Ben Lee in Quarantine is a collaboration between me, Max Quinn, and Ben Lee. I'm doing all the mixing and producing and editing and stuff. Sorry if you run into any pops or clicks or bung audio. I'm trying. Thank you to Ben. You can find him on the internet at Ben Lee Music. You can say hi to me at Max Quinn. We'll have another episode for you real soon.